But first, Paul Bond, journalist, how are you going?
I'm going very well, Philip. I must say I'm happy to sit in for Laura, and I hope she's doing okay. The sooner she's back talking to you, the better.
So do we all, mate. Now, look here. Now, before the latest scandals broke last week, did Scott Morrison acknowledge that he was preparing for an early election?
Well, this was quite interesting. Last Tuesday's party room meeting of the coalition party, the Libs and the Nats, the Prime Minister, out of the blue, he took people by surprise by saying he was a long-termer, that he intended to go as long as we said we would. That's what I'm quoting from the official briefing. And he said that John Howard had advised him some time ago that elections are too hard to win, so you don't rush off to them.
I think that's great news. I'd hate to see a change of government, so we're not going to have an early election.
Well, the only thing is that after this briefing and people remembering that John Howard, in fact, maybe it's a matter of definition, didn't go his full 3 years for the whole 12 years he was in power, one of the veterans of the gallery, as we were leaving the briefing, said, well, that's it, we're going to go to an early election. But there you go. I think in our system of no fixed terms at the federal level now, I think prime ministers love to pay cat and mouse with everybody, including more importantly the opposition, but I think including the voters.
I think it's more cat, that thing where you whack a mole rather than cat and mouse.
Look, yeah, probably.
Let's go to Queensland. I understand they're having some sort of election on Saturday.
Yes, well, there's been a couple of published opinion polls now that give the edge to Labor statewide. The latest one was fairly close. So it looks like no one's going to win this in a landslide. Labor was fairly heartened by news poll looking at four marginals on the weekend, especially Palmerstone, which those of you who know Queensland well know that that's Bribie Island, which is not quite retirement central in Queensland, but a lot of older Australians live there. And this sort of fits in, and Labor was doing quite well, that's the point, in this marginal seat. Now, the point there is that Labor's research tells me that older voters are quite grateful that the Labor Premier, Anastasia Palaszczuk, has kept Queensland safe. And it could well be that older voters save the Palaszczuk government. We'll have to wait and see on that one.
And, of course, there's a Premier in Victoria who'd be hoping that was the consequence of taking a tough line. Let's walk back now to what we tried to talk about at the beginning, and that's this raft of scandals. Remind us very briefly about the sins of omission and commission at ASIC.
Well, this is the watchdog, the Australian Securities and Investment Commission. It's supposed to be the watchdog, over investors and all sorts of people in the financial sector. But we now have the terribly embarrassing sight of the chairman and the deputy chairman of ASIC. The chairman has stood aside because he got $100,000 of perks that maybe he shouldn't have got, and the deputy chairman has actually quit because he got $70,000 worth. Now, this is embarrassing in the sense that these guys are there to keep everybody else honest.
Well, talking about watchdogs reminds us of watches, and although I think a 5 or 6 grand Cartier is pretty cheap, tell me about those watches.
The interesting issue here is that Australia Post has been corporatised. That is, it's an Australian agency that's supposed to act on a business model. The problem for that agency and that model is that the shareholder is the government of Australia and therefore the taxpayers of Australia. Now, the chairman of Australia Post claimed that it wasn't taxpayers' money when she was quizzed about it in estimates, because the fact of the matter is that Australia Post pays its own way with its customers. Well, Scott Morrison was in high dudgeon. He said it wasn't acceptable that these watches were given and that if she doesn't stand aside, he will stand her aside. Now, Philip, I have to tell you that Scott Morrison himself was not only stood aside, but he was sacked from the Australian Tourism Commission a while ago and given a secret payout at taxpayers' expense that to this day we haven't heard of. And I got a phone call, just to let you know this, I got a phone call from a Liberal in Victoria saying, I wonder if Scott Morrison on the way out beside the golden boot also got a watch. That's a good question, isn't it?
My favourite bit of dialogue in Casablanca is, what watch? 10 watch, such much? Well, it wasn't 10 watch, it's 20,000 watch, isn't it?
Well, precisely, yes.
Now, if, however, the government goes ahead with an anti-corruption commission, politicians would receive special treatment. The commission would not initiate inquiries, but would have to wait for a government reference, and there would be no public hearings. I don't think anyone has to worry too much about that.
Well, no. First of all, they're reluctant to even give us that. And Helen Haynes, the independent from Victoria, came up with a much better idea today in a private members' bill, which probably won't even be allowed to come to a vote.
Paul, thanks for that. Paul Bongiorno, veteran political journalist, currently a columnist. Not a communist, a columnist, although there are rumours, for the Saturday paper.